All right, amen. You guys doing good? God is good, amen. I know. Everybody's been giving me a hard time because I'm wearing the Bills gear today, but you know, it's tough to beat the Chiefs and the refs, okay? I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the game last week, but it was, I know, the refs are undefeated. But no, it's, you know, it's good to be here. It is what it is, right? We have victory in Jesus Christ, all right? I was sad for like 30 minutes, and I was like, ah, I'm over it. On with my day, because you know what? I mean, you're a Bills fan, yeah. You're a Bengals fan, Niner fan. It wasn't our year. Raiders fan, wasn't our year. Yeah. But who cares? Every day is our day in Jesus Christ's name. Amen? We have victory, so it's all right. You know, it's entertainment, and that's it. It's not more than that. You know, it is what it is. But it's a bummer. But we're here, and we have victory every single day in Jesus Christ. Every day that we have is a gift. Right? It's a blessing to open our eyes. And to be able to serve and do what God has called us to do. Amen? We're jumping right into, this is a week three of a sermon series we started called Better. In week one, we talked about having the right priorities, right? We kind of did a little object lesson with the big boulders and the big rocks, ensuring that we put God first. And so we did that by showing that you have to have the big boulders in first before you had all the little tiny rocks and the pebbles. And the last week, we talked about what does it look like to have better relationships? And how can we be intentional to have better relationships as we're in our walk and in our life? And that means, you know, when you're walking with God, that sometimes you have to be very careful who you're allowing into your circle of influence. And sometimes, and not a lot of times, it means that we got to prune certain, in the seasons of our life, we got to do some pruning. And that hurts. Because sometimes God is asking us to say, hey, that person right there, that person is toxic. Person is a taker. That person is the one that's going to cause you to stumble. And so, you know, until you can become firm in your walk to go back and then reach that person for Christ, you have to kind of, in the season you're in, say, that relationship is, you need to nip that in the bud. Make sense? Today we're going to be talking about making better decisions, what it means to make better decisions. And so when we, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you guys struggle with making decisions? You don't like to be the one that makes decisions. You rather ask somebody, right? You might be that person when you're getting dressed in the morning, you put on the shoes, and then you're like, which shoes should I wear? The black ones or the black ones? Should I wear the brown ones or the other ones? The one with the heel like this or the heel like that? Does that resonate with anybody? Oh man, I know somebody that's just like that. All the guys are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And don't lie, too. Some of the guys, you guys are like, what shirt looks better? This one makes me look buff or no? Like, no, that one's too tight. I can see the longha. Don't put that one on, babe. Right? You struggle with decisions. It's not, you know, it's true. And those are small decisions that we make in the day, right? How about decisions about where you're going to go eat after church? Where are you going to eat after church, right? You heard a good old message, you're like, oh man, praise Jesus, that was awesome. And then by the time you leave the parking lot, man, everybody's like, why can't you just, and then you'll bring up a suggestion, right, brother? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care. How about over here? No, I don't like that. Well, how about over here? No, last time the person was rude there. I thought you just said you didn't care. You're like, how about KFC? No, the bucket of chicken, like 45 bucks there now, right? That's true. One time I actually tried to go in. I didn't realize it. I ordered a bucket of chicken. The girl was 45 bucks. I would have reversed if I could have. There's two people behind me. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so no, with decisions, right? Isn't there something about it where you say, yeah, no. And then we are like, it turns into a big old thing, especially for lunches, I know. But those are little kind of, okay, we're being funny, right? Those are small decisions that sometimes influence our, what about the big decisions of our life? What we're going to talk about today is God in the center, and are we inviting him, and are we choosing him? We got to make these big decisions. Amen? So we're going to be reading out of the book we're going to be in Joshua today. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Joshua 24. In my own study, I've been doing Joshua and Judges, and so you guys kind of see where we're heading here. But Joshua 24, verse 1, we're going to pick up, and this is, again, I always say, Every part of, you know, the scripture is God-inspired, right? It's God-breathed. You guys know that, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. But the other part, I'm a fan of reading you know, like the end. You know, not that I want to ruin like a movie, or I want to see how things end. But when you get to the last chapters, there's always some real good, again, some really powerful reminders when you get to it. So we're going to be Joshua 24, and we're going to be reading about, we're going to be learning about what the scriptures say and our decision making and the choices that we make. You guys there? All right. So Joshua 24, verse 1, it says, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah and the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau. Jacob went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came by the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and with horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you. You took possession of the land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you, and again I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you. Also did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Hephthites, the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you the land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them, and you eat from the vineyards and olive groves you did not plant.'" Here's where it's, you know, we get to the crux of it, right? It says, "Now to the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshiped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates, the God of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve, me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen? Yeah, that's a lot, huh? That's a lot. But as we get into it and we start talking about the different choices that we are making and about the decision making that we have to do, the first point in today's message is that when we examine our life choices that are laid before us, we have to reflect on the past. We have to reflect on the past. And that's what we see in today's reading. We see that Joshua has gathered all the people, all the elders and the leaders, and he does one thing. He spends the first 13 verses doing what? Reminding them of God's goodness. Reminding them of all that God has done in their lives. Because oftentimes, isn't it interesting? We forget how good God has been to us. We forget. As we're right in the middle of it, oftentimes, and if you see, there's that pattern over and over again. And when we study the Old Testament about how the Israelites, they forget time and time and time again. In the book of Judges, turn the gain out just a tad. How time and time again, they forget. And then they remember, and then God raises up a leader, and then he blesses them. And then what happens? They forget. And they start living and start worshiping false gods. And then they cry out to God. And then God will raise up a leader, right? And that's a cycle that we see time and time again. But for our own lives, right? I always think it's important. It matters, right? When you meet somebody, for example, and somebody gives you a choice, don't you usually weigh who's giving you that choice? You kind of like make a decision in your mind based on your history. Like if somebody that has betrayed you or backstabbed you and invites you, do you feel like you walk right into it, or are you kind of really skeptical about the choice or the offering that's being made in front of you? You have, odds are is like, yeah, I've been burned before. I'm not going to trust that person. And so what's interesting what Joshua's doing here is he's saying, hey, listen, you're going to have some choices before you. And before you start even considering what the choices are, you need to remember. You need to look back and reflect. Because who's giving you the decision? Who's laying those choices out before you? It matters, right? Now, if we reflect on our own lives, hasn't God been good to us? Isn't he faithful? Doesn't he keep his promises? Now, when we go back and reflect and we look at the past in our life, and we reflect on those moments where we've had the most pain, the most heartache, the most heartbreak, were we really close to God or were we far away from God? I'm not saying that storms are not going to come. I'm not saying that there's not going to be painful times when we're walking with Christ. I'm telling you in my own testimony, my moments of greatest pain was when I was far away from God. Not because God was far away from me, but because I had made the decision to try to do it on my own. See, it does matter who's giving us the choices. There's certainly different reasons, right? As we go through a decision-making of our life. You know, it's funny. How many of you guys remember a song from the 1980s? It's a song that's called, Janet Jackson sang it. It's called, What Have You Done For Me Lately? You guys remember that song? You guys want to sing it? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you got the hair, sister. I like it. You just need the little... Yeah, that's right. She does a lot of this in the video. I was actually watching it. I don't know why. When I start working on the sermon, I get distracted. I was like, oh, that would be a good song. Then I start watching Janet Jackson video, and I was like, oh, back to the sermon. You know, so I was going to do the little dance move, you know. She does a lot of shoulder action in that video. But What Have You Done For Me Lately is a song. You guys all know it, and you guys are, dun, 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 dun. What have you done for me lately, right? And so all I'm saying is this, is like, when we come before, who's offering us the decision, who's offering us the guidance of how we're going to live our life? If you ask that question right now, Janet Jackson is making a funny song, not a funny song. It's an indictment on her boyfriend, right? That song, it talks about, you don't even take me out. We used to go dancing. Now your feet are just on the couch. And then it goes, what have you done for me lately, right? Ask that same question of whatever decision you have to make, right? When we're asking, should we trust God with this decision? We're saying, Ask that question. And it's not like we would say it, like we would do it with reference, right? I'm just saying that as a metaphor. What has God done for us lately? Not in a way that I'm like, in the way that Janet Jackson is saying this as a negative, but more of like of reverence. What has God done for us lately? Man, gave me life, woke me up, gave me salvation, forgiven me for my sins, restored my relationship with him, restored my relationship with my family, right? Broken some of these, I would say we're all prone to some type of sin. We are. Broken chains in my own life, right? Things that we're all struggling with. We all have an addictive personality, and Jesus comes in and he frees us from that. So what has he done for us lately? Is that it all? In fact, we're the ones that get in our own way oftentimes when we're walking with God. Amen? We're the ones that stumble and fall because we think we know better. And so as we get into these points in our life where we have to make a decision about something, the choices are made before us, we have to reflect on God's goodness. Reflect on the past and all the things that God has brought us out of. Amen? And at the same time, when you look at the choice and the decision that's put before you, you have to recognize that there is a good God that's for you, but there's also an enemy that's trying to tear you down. That wants nothing better than to rob and steal and kill, right? Not only your life, but that of your family. Amen? Who is it? It's Satan, right? Enemy. And he's trying to rob us of our joy. And so I always say, man, we're going to get into the decision making, but before we do that, we always have to reflect back and remember God's goodness. Amen? The second thing that we need to look at, and I'm going to read a few more chapters. is that, and it's actually in verse 15. Let's read it. In verse 15, it says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you're living. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. We have to choose who we're going to serve. Number two, the second point in today's message says, God will not force you to follow him. He will present you the option and you must decide. God will not force you to follow. He will present you the option and you must decide. Oftentimes when you get into studying and when I first came to the Lord, I was 30. I'm like, man, now I look back and I was like, I was kind of young. But I think back then I was like, one of my biggest regrets in my own life was that I didn't come to the Lord sooner. That I was like, man, I tried to do this. I could have saved myself a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of struggling. If I would have just, why didn't anybody tell me about this Jesus? I was mad, like it was a secret or something, you know. But isn't it funny? That was my take then. Now I think it's like, oh, I was kind of young. 15 years later, right? No hair, all gray. My main point is this. He presents us the option. I was given the option. I went to church. I grew up in a Catholic faith. I wasn't a good Catholic by any means, right? My mantra back then was, I can't cuss in the church, but I can cuss in the parking lot. That's the kind of Catholic I was. It wasn't a good one. And I was always upset because, you know, I was upset with myself because I didn't know God. But here's the thing. When we come before God, he's going to present us the option. And he lets us decide. He lets us choose which way we're going to go. And oftentimes you'll hear this, particularly in the academic circles, people will ask, well, if God is sovereign and why is good, why does he give us freedom to do bad things? Why does he give us the freedom to make a mess out of our lives? That's a good question, right? And the answer is very simple. Love only comes from a free heart, right? Love can only come from a free heart. Because, for example, when I met Stephanie in high school, and I just walked up to her and I said, I think you're cute. You're going to be my girlfriend. And this is how it's going to be. She would be like, get out of here. You're a creeper. You're weird, right? No, because what? It has to be a choice. It has to be a choice. And so that's why God doesn't say, like, we don't want to be robots. People will say that academically. God should just make us do good all the time. Then you would be a robot. There's no room for free love in that equation. So God allows us to choose, and we have to decide. We could do things. We could understand what's in this book. First and foremost, we have to choose for him to be Lord, right? We have to decide to follow Jesus. Then we have to get into his word. And then you have to listen and obey. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, you need to listen. You need to obey, even though you don't want to sometimes. To be honest with you, you're like, I don't want to be nice. I don't want to forgive that person. It would be easier for me to be in the flesh on that. Yes or no? And, right? But that's not of God. That's not of the Holy Spirit. So we still have to choose and decide. Even in those situations and circumstances, you know, in the book of Joshua, they were given a lot of, it's funny when you go through and you read, particularly in the first parts of Judges, you'll see it. Because the first thing that I ask myself is, why didn't they just get rid of all the people and push them out of the land? But it tells you very specifically, it says, God allowed them to stay there as a stumbling block to test their faith. And see, that's the thing, guys. We want our life to be perfect. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm praying. Why do I have these struggles? If everything that you prayed for came through, where is the room for your faith to grow? Where is the room for us to depend on God? If God, that's a genie. And if we're honest, we want a genie. But we don't have that. God is not a genie. God is awesome and he's big and he's powerful. But he's going to test us. And he's going to, we have to choose. And this is why this whole thing is about choices and decisions that we make. Because here, in the country that we live in and the place that we live in, there's so many distractions. And if you look around, and I always say, listen, if you look in the room, I'm just telling you, everybody around here, you may not believe it, but in this room, you have the top, you, all of you, are within the top 5% of the wealthiest people on the face of the planet. Yeah, praise God. Right? It's true. But do we wake up every morning, do we feel like it? When we wake up in the morning, do we feel like it and say, man, praise God, I feel so blessed. God has been so good to us. Do we feel that way? No, huh? We don't. Because we're distracted. And understand that it's everything that the way we live our life, we're being tested. Our faith is being tested. And we have to choose God, choose the things of God. And therefore we have to allow Him, right, to be Lord. Because in this life that we live, you're going to confront a lot of opportunities. You got to make a lot of decisions, whether you're going to choose God's way or you're going to choose your way. There's a lot of distractions around us, right? Particularly when it comes to materialism, there is. You're going to be put in front of you, there's going to be some things that are going to try to distract you from your walk. Amen? And the one that we struggle with a lot in this country is materialism. It's the pursuit of your career, your money, house, your bank account, what car you drive, what you want to do for vacation, the pursuit. Right? There's a lot of distractions out there. Amen? And so God is going to say, who are you going to do? You're going to put your faith in your bank account? You're going to put your faith in your career? You're going to put your faith in your education? You're going to put your faith in your house, in your car, whatever it is. And you have to choose. God is asking us to choose and make a decision. Money is a huge one, right? I don't know if you guys know that, but I was getting ready for the message. I pulled out some money. And it's interesting that the designers of currency, there's some interesting things that are on them, right? If you read right here on every single, on all the currency, it says what? In God we trust. In God we trust. Why? Because oftentimes we make a mistake of trusting this. That's nothing. We put our value in this and our security in this. And this is nothing. And so it's telling you right there when you pull this out. I mean, although we pay with plastic all the time now, right? Or we're like all Cash App or whatever. In God we trust. And if you look over here, there's a little pyramid with an eye. I don't know if you guys know that. That stands for, that's also divinity. It means that God is always watching. Right? And if you look at the other part in Latin, it says that He is pleased with our work. There's three reminders just in the thing that we sometimes distracts us from God to say, put your eyes on God, not on this thing. This is trash. You guys saw, I feel like a dramatic effect. I'll do it again. This is trash. That one wasn't so good. It's a distraction, right? Listen, when we give our life to God and we choose Him, we get God. Not this paper, guys. And we're so easily distracted. It could be a good thing if it's in the right place, right? It could be something that helps to build up the kingdom, but oftentimes it distracts us. We have to trust God. We have to choose Him. We have to remember when we make our decision, the decision before us, is this going to draw me closer to God? Is this in obedience with His commands? Is it in obedience with His will for my life? You have to choose. Joshua tells you clearly, he says, but as for me and my house, right, we'll serve the Lord. That's the decision that we're talking about. He's not going to force you. He didn't force them. God will present and put different opportunities to distract you. Isn't it sometimes when you're walking with God and you're on fire and then something, another opportunity will come up and you'll be like, that's a good thing, huh? But it's a distraction from what God wants. I remember when I first, when we were first trying to move back home after Ethan was born, and Stephanie was pregnant with Lily. We knew we were serving at our old church at LVC. We knew we had to move back home. We knew that God was calling us back. And it was that time. Things were happening with Ethan. He had just been diagnosed with autism. Steph was pregnant with Lily. It was time to go home. And we were starting to get involved in doing things with the church, and we knew it was time for us to come back. Well, as I started talking to my boss says, "You're thinking about," I said, "Hey, here's what's going on in my life, right? I need to move." She starts to tell me then, she says, "But if you really should reconsider, because you could be the next in line to be the director here. You could be the youngest director this department has ever seen. Why don't you reconsider and stay?" Right? It was one of these. She was dangling one of these in front of me. She's saying, "How about we give you more money? How about we give you that position, the title? You could be the youngest director that we've ever had here. And it would come with this type of increase," right? I could have said, and part of me was like, "Ooh, man, that's kind of cool. Like, that's nice, you know?" But I knew it wasn't from God. Why? Because I had to evaluate the person that was making the promise, yeah? And I kind of worked for her for a while, and I was like, yeah, I kind of know you. Like, you know, you're... So like the same way that Joshua had to make a decision, he trusted God, he reflected, and I was like, let me reflect back on who's making me the offer. It was a good offer, but part of me was like, I don't think that's from God. Obviously, we prayed about it and prayed about it. And it turns out when I moved back home, to be quite honest with you, to cut to the chase, I actually took a demotion. It's true. I took a demotion to move back home. But I knew God was calling us back home. And we worked faithfully at it. And God, this is not a message about finance and tithe, but God is faithful, right? He'll provide. And I always said, like, listen, when we did that move, Stephanie stopped working, right? So that was half of our income gone. Then I took a pay cut to take the job that we were in. And we're like, how are we going to do it? It doesn't matter. Let's do it by faith. God is calling us back home. I'm telling you, he has met our need and been able to then. Again, it's not a message about money or anything. But it's about choosing God first. Choosing God first. My buddy Hank's here. I met him at UHC, and that's the job that I took, right? Where God allowed, and we were just faithful in our service to him. And we had everything aligned in the right way, and God says, you know what? Okay, I see you. I'm going to provide for you. He's good, amen? But we have to make a decision. And the third point in today's message is that you got to make a decision, and that's a commitment beyond words. Make a decision that's beyond words to love and obey God. I'm gonna go fast because I'm running out of time. Actually, I ran out of time already. Because what happens? If you guys read verse 16, it says, "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord, the God Himself, who brought us up out of Egypt and from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs, right? He protected us on the entire journey. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations and the Amorites who lived here.'" But here's something that Joshua, I think, is interesting. It says, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve. You are not able to serve the Lord." Isn't that funny? I think it's kind of funny. They're like, "We can do it. We are choosing God." And he's all, "You can't serve God." Isn't that funny? I think it's like, what? Josh is saying, listen, this is just lip service. He's saying, are you for real? Are you sure? Not just what you think when you feel like, when you're in church, yeah, no, no. No, when it gets hard, are you going to serve? Are you going to be loyal? Are you going to be faithful to the decision that you made? Committed beyond the words, but to love and obey God. That's going to be hard, guys. But I'm telling you, and you guys know this, nothing of lasting value is easy. Nothing. The things that are lasting, the things that matter the most, are going to cost you everything. The things that almost feel like, man, those things are always like, man, I always refer to this back. I said, listen, and it's because we're hardwired to be selfish. We're hardwired to think about ourselves, but man, when God challenges us, particularly in things of faith and relationship, It means that we put all that aside, right? Jesus says, pick up your cross daily. He meant it. It's going to cost you everything. But when you lose your life for Christ, right, you find it in Him. And that's what we're talking about. Beyond just the words, committing to love and obey God. And so do we make a decision on how we're going to live our life? Is it going to be chasing after that on the ground? Come on. That's man-made. Make a decision to prioritize these things when we have access to living God. And we will put Him on the back burner because we're distracted. Because we want to do different things. Because we're so easily distracted. Are we protecting our time with God? Are we connected? Are we committed to being in church or to going to Bible study? Or to have a family devotion time? Those are the decisions that we're making here. Are we prioritizing the things of God? Are we distracted by the world? God is going to put a lot of different choices and opportunities before us, but He's asking us to commit to follow Him. He's asking us to commit and to just make a decision on who we will serve. Jesus says you can't serve two masters, right? And in that particular passage, he's talking about money. I didn't mean for this to be a message about money and all that kind of stuff, but one of the thing that distracts us the most is usually finance and job and where we spend our time. And those things are distractions. And that's not to say that we can't do those things after we've already prioritized the things of God. After we've already prioritized the things of God, our time with God, the relationships that God has put in our life, then there's room for all that stuff. Right? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then everything else will follow. Amen? So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I challenge you guys. It's framed as you walk into my house. Or you can go to Hobby Lobby and buy one too, right? I actually printed my own out as a reminder. But you know what's really cool about this? Is that as you go on and you read Joshua, he even says, listen, you have a witness, right? You need to decide. But then he says, like, listen, you're making that covenant. It's between you and God. He says, listen, he grabs a rock, which I think is awesome. And he says, this rock be a witness of your commitment. He says, and he put it up as a little altar, as a reminder about what you're committing to, right? So maybe next week we're going to bring a bunch of rocks. I'm going to have you guys write your names on it, and you're going to put it wherever. You put it on under your pillow. So you'll be uncomfortable, so you remember to pray, remember to do your Bible study. I'm kidding. But we got to choose, guys. We live in a world where there's so many distractions, so many things that are robbing us, trying to compete for our time, and we're giving it away sometimes freely to these things that at the end of the day don't bring us satisfaction. They don't bring us fullness, just rob us of the true treasure that we have when we give that to God first. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, for today's reminder, Lord. And we're out of time already, but Lord God, Your word never comes back empty. Lord God, I pray that every one of us in here would make a decision to follow You, Lord. And as choices are put in front of us, Lord God, that we would weigh them against Your will. That we would weigh them against Your word, that as we have to face the big life decisions, that we always seek You out first, and that we seek the counsel of brothers and sisters who encourage us, who love us, Lord God, so we can make better decisions. Decisions that bring us closer to You. Decisions that take us away from the distractions of the world. Because Lord God, You are for us and You are good. Lord, when we weigh back and we look at all the goodness, we consider who You are. Your promises and the fact that You are God, wouldn't we trust You with every decision? Why wouldn't we choose You? Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, every family and every person that is here, Lord God, would just help us to make a commitment to follow You. We would choose You, Lord God, above the distractions of the world. Father God, also pray against the attacks of the enemy. all these idols, Lord God, and distractions in the world, Lord. They just want to rob us of our joy. The enemy wants to come in to destroy. You've come that we even had life and life to the full. So I pray, that, Lord God, that we weigh all of our decisions, Lord. And every person that's here, I'm sure, is being presented with an option right now. And it could be even something good, but if it's something that's distracting from our walk with you, Lord, we help us to put it in the right perspective. Help us to prioritize you above all, Lord God. You above even good relationships in our life, Lord God, because you have to come first. You are a jealous God, but you are for us. Help us not to have idols in our lives, Lord God. Help us not get distracted. Thank you, Lord God, for the grace and the mercy that you pour out upon us every day, Lord God. Help us to commit fully, not just with words, but with our lives. Every choice that comes before us, to weigh it against who you are. Guide us and protect us and keep us, Lord God. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Father God, forgive us, Lord God, if we're struggling with sin this morning. Forgive us, Lord God, and help us to get right with you, Lord, and make a decision to cast out this that's hindering our walk with you. We pray over our families, Lord God. We pray over our kids, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews. We pray over our church. Help us to be the salt and the light, Lord God, in a world that desperately needs to see your goodness, Lord God. Father God, right now, I also pray for our health. Lord, if some of us have been coming into our home a little sick, Lord God, aches and pains, Lord God, we keep us healthy, Lord God, to serve you. Lord God, help us again just to be your hands and your feet, to share the good news of who you are. Watch over us, guide us, and keep us, Lord God. Father God, I also pray right now for the meal that we're about to have. We're going to break bread, Lord God. And fellowship. Bless our conversation. Bless the joy and laughter. Thank you again for who you are and all your grace and your mercy, Lord God. And be in the center of all of our decisions, Lord God. Help us to choose you at all times, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.